Much of our behavior is framed by the seasons, from when we're likely to plan vacations to when many of us are more likely to experience a little bit of depression. But our next guest sees something else that's influenced by the seasons, and that's human reproduction.
That's right. If you feel like you're sending out an awful lot of birthday cards from June to early November, you're not alone. And reproduction is seasonal across all living organisms, not just humans.
Michaela Martinez joins us now. She's an infectious disease ecologist and assistant professor at Columbia University in the Department of Environmental Health Sciences. She wrote the piece, "Tis the Season for Conception," for theconversation.com. Michaela, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
And first of all, great title. I use the term "tis the season" for lots of things. Don't think I've ever said for conception, but now I can check that off the list. Well, yes. When did researchers first begin to notice birth seasonality in humans?
Yes, well, this phenomenon has been discussed in the literature for over 100 years, really. It wasn't until the last 80 or so years that biologists started paying attention to it. It used to be more of a focus of demographers.
And when we talk about birth seasonality, it's not just humans. And actually, maybe it's much more obvious with, say, wildlife, because if you look at a phenology calendar, for instance, it'll often say this is the day that, you know, young muskrats will be emerging, things like that. It seems like the rest of nature is on a very seasonal calendar.
Yes, and actually, we can even see hints of this in our society. Here in the U.S., we have the Easter holiday. We oftentimes see pictures of young chicks and bunny rabbits, and that really comes from this association of springtime being the peak of the breeding season for a lot of birds and mammals in the Northern Hemisphere.
I'm guessing that, as scientists do, when this pattern of human reproduction was noticed, the next question was, well, why? What's causing it? One of the theories is that there does tend to be a wedding season, which could have some influence over the birth peak, but you found a lot of other, probably more convincing factors. What did you find might influence those peak times of human birth?
Yeah, so this is an argument that's been going on for many decades now among biologists and demographers, which is what drives birth seasonality in humans. Is it about behavior? So is it sexual intercourse? Or is it actually something to do with our physiology and our fertility? So wedding season would be a behavioral or societal factor. And it is the case that in some populations that the wedding season coincides with increase in births 9 to 15 months later, but that doesn't hold throughout the Northern Hemisphere where we've been conducting these studies.
And so instead of that, I think it's really interesting what you just said, and we kind of hopped over it, that this isn't just about when there might be intercourse that could lead to conception. There might be differences in fertility, which that might be affected by the seasons. What would the connection be there?
Absolutely. So if we look at wild mammals and birds, what we see is that they're not fertile year-round. For the most part, species that live outside of the tropics are only able to conceive at particular times of year. And so depending on what species it is, they will have hormonal cascades that essentially prime their body to be able to reproduce. And that usually occurs within a particular window of the year. If we think about deer in the Northern Hemisphere and in Wisconsin, you know, deer, the hunting season is in fall. That's when deer are in rut. That's when the females are able to get pregnant, and then they're pregnant all throughout the winter, and they give birth in spring. For smaller mammals, they often have much shorter gestation periods, so they can get pregnant in the spring and then have their young that same season.
Now, you mentioned earlier something specific to the Northern Hemisphere. What difference is there between, say, people who are living close to the equator, where there is not nearly as much of a difference in the length of the day, for instance, versus those of us who may be much further north or south of that?
Yes, well, up until very recently, and actually until even to this day, there really hasn't been any published data in the scientific literature on birth seasonality in the Southern Hemisphere, only because of the the availability of data, essentially, not having birth records from Latin America and African countries. And in fact, this earlier this year, I started working with some colleagues in Brazil and funded by the Brazilian government to look at human birth seasonality across Brazil, including in the Amazon. And what we find is, in fact, there is birth seasonality in the tropics, in even in Amazonian communities, but those data haven't been published yet.
We often, I think, forget how closely related we as humans are to the rest of the natural world. And as I was reading your article and talking with you, Michaela, part of me is surprised that we are as fertile as we are year-round as humans. Does that set us aside in some way from the rest of the animal kingdom?
It does in some ways. But humans, we evolved in the tropics. So when we think about where humans live today, we are dispersed globally, but that is not where our evolutionary ancestors were. And so we might be more similar in terms of our reproductive biology to tropical mammals who do have the capacity to breed year-round and reproduce year-round, but they don't necessarily fulfill that. And so there's a difference between having the capacity to and then having variation in fertility throughout the year. And so, yes, we are able to get pregnant at any time, but we might be more physiologically primed and more fertile at particular times of year. And that could be either male or female fertility.
Hmm. And Michaela, as we wrap up, as you said, researchers think that humans are starting to lose some of the birth seasonality, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. What might that mean for the future of human fertility and reproduction?
Well, birth rates overall are not necessarily declining. That depends on the country. But the seasonal cycle in births is definitely dampening out, and it seems to be disappearing. Now, whether that actually has an impact on our society, it still remains to be seen. This can be birth seasonality very likely is an evolutionary relic and may not be influencing us in our day-to-day lives very much. But my thought is that understanding whether or not there are seasonal cycles in fertility can perhaps help us in terms of planning pregnancy or for women who are having fertility challenges.
Well, Michaela, thanks so much for joining us. Michaela Martinez is an infectious disease ecologist and an assistant professor at Columbia University. She joined us to talk about seasonality of births.